You're listening to episode 31 of IDRA Class Notes.
We were concerned that faculty and administration not see this as a way that we were going to be attacking them. But everybody on the campus has been responding, saying we need this information, we need to know. Plus, the greater benefit of having a community dialogue about math is so much greater. It's the community is buzzing about it. They're talking about it, as opposed to selling tickets to raise money for new curtains for the stage or anything else that parents usually do.
Welcome to the IDRA Class Notes podcast by the Intercultural Development Research Association. I'm Christy Goodman. Thank you so much for listening today. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve all students. We would love to hear your thoughts, questions, and suggestions. There'll be details at the end of this podcast on how to contact us, and we say that with every episode. I want you to know we really, really mean it. We would love to hear from you. We have set up an email alert to let you know when each episode of Class Notes is available. So if you're not subscribing to this podcast, our email alerts can help you stay up to date. Just go to our website and sign up. I also want to let you know about a monthly electronic newsletter that we have called Graduation for All. Get informed, get connected, get results. It's free and shares news and resources focusing on graduating all students across the country. Again, you can just go to our website and sign up. That's at www.idra.org. Today's topic is about Latino parent engagement in high school math with Aurelio Montemayor. Aurelio is IDRA's lead trainer and director of our Parent Information and Resource Center for Texas. He brings extensive experience in working with school personnel, parents, and students. His career in education spans four decades and has included teaching at the high school, middle school, and elementary school levels. He received a bachelor's degree in English and philosophy and a master's degree in bilingual education. Aurelio is passionate about the power of parent and community engagement for leadership development and effective education. He's a key developer for our model for parent engagement and in helping schools, parents, and community groups rethink how they can work together. So, good morning.
Good morning.
So, why don't you give us a little background about what happened at the school that you were working with and what prompted the parent action that we're going to talk about today?
Well, as you had mentioned, I direct statewide Parent Information Resource Center here at IDRA. And one of our targets, one of our areas that we're supposed to be supporting is those schools that have not been making adequate yearly progress. You know that under Title I, No Child Left Behind, schools are really under the gun, and there's a new kind of a report card. It's not new anymore, but they're measured by the annual testing, and if the students are not improving at an adequate rate, they get on the list. So this one school, it's a fairly large school, 3,000 students in far west Texas, about 90% Latino, and most of the families economically disadvantaged. We chose that as a pilot site to work with high school parents. And about a year ago, we have an online way of having parents look at how their campus is doing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have something called a graduation guaranteed portal. Mm-hmm. And so we had about 15 parents in a computer lab, and on the screen they were looking at their school and looking, how is our school doing? Well, when they came to the little section where AYP is, the mm-hmm. Adequate Yearly Progress, they saw, it's the second year and we're on that list, and for what? And of course, most of the conversation was being conducted in Spanish, but we said, it's algebra. The students are not progressing in algebra. And it's an indication that not just the year that they're tested, but the kids are not doing well.
Right. And that's a gatekeeper course, so that's pretty critical.
Absolutely. And you know, if you look at the figures for Latinos and African American mm-hmm. children and going to college, preparation for college, it's a very important red flag, and we're glad that it's coming up. Mm-hmm. Because we're not glad that the figures are bad, but at least now you can focus on the problem.
Yes, exactly.
And so this group of parents started having a conversation, and they said, well, we're going to find out a little bit. So they went home, and their homework was to find out what people were thinking about this, mm-hmm. the families, mm-hmm. if they knew at all. So the next month we met, and they came out with some questions, and they said, well, I talked to one lady who said her son told her that he couldn't ask questions in class, that he wasn't allowed to ask questions because of the pace at which the class was being taught. Mm-hmm. And another family was reporting that their child was getting supplemental services after school, mm-hmm. but that instead of it being tutoring, it was like a 13-to-1 ratio. So it was like a class.
Wow.
So it didn't feel like tutoring.
Right, right.
And then somebody else mentioned something about her child had said that when she asked a question, the teacher retaught it in exactly the same way. And the little girl was saying, well, I didn't understand it the first time, Mama. How could mm-hmm. I understand it the second time if it's taught in the same way? So from this, we started collecting these questions, and a questionnaire came out, and we made it a bilingual questionnaire. Mm-hmm. And we've published it. We published it last spring in our newsletter.
And it's on our website.
Yes.
We'll have a link to that.
And it was very interesting because we helped the parents put it together, and we created a little Likert scale, 5-point choice. Mm-hmm. And so it was very, very general questions. And so the parents then took this and started trying it out. And we did a parent version and a student version, and it's just 6 questions. First one is, my children have high grades in math. From never to always, 5 choices, mm-hmm. okay? Students are encouraged to ask questions again because the issue came up with parents. The third one, when students don't understand a concept, different ways are used to teach it. And the fourth one, the supplementary education services such as tutoring help the students succeed in their classes. Mm-hmm. And again, these are open-ended questions. Mm-hmm. And some parents said, yes, always, good, never, and all this stuff. But then we added 2 open-ended questions because the conversations merited it. Ask your children that are in this high school, what helps them learn math and what stops them or blocks them from learning math? Mm-hmm. Just as an open-ended question.
Mm-hmm. And these are questions the parents themselves came up with.
Yes.
They put together the survey.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when we showed them the survey already, bilingual, that they really loved it and they started doing it.
Yeah.
So for a year, they've been going out randomly. We didn't set it up as a study. So as they were having these conversations, the school is also going through a major revamping or retooling of how they teach math.
Yeah.
This is the principal's first year. He was just appointed last year as the principal, and he's really, really concerned about what is going on, not just the sophomore year, mm-hmm. but every year with
mm-hmm.
math.
Mm-hmm.
What was really powerful about this is that it really shifts the paradigm in parent involvement, because traditionally, if you think about parent involvement, it's volunteering, showing up in a particular set of ways, whether it's fundraising, or even if beyond that, they might have some self-improvement courses for the parents. But if it's a Title I campus and the personnel are paid out of Title I.
Which means Title I?
Title I is that part of No Child Left Behind that focuses on children that come from economically disadvantaged
right.
families.
Mm-hmm.
And the focus is on their achievements, especially in language arts and mathematics. That mm-hmm. has always been the focus.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 40 years, that legislation, with every change, they've ratcheted up what parents need to know
mm-hmm.
and their engagement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they get funding from
the
federal government to focus on it.
And mm-hmm. so, for example, this high school that we're working with, they get a good chunk of money to support the kids beyond what the state does
mm-hmm.
in achievement,
mm-hmm.
and mathematics is a very important piece.
Right.
Where systems are having trouble adapting is when you have parent involvement personnel who measure what they do by setting up a workshop and having parents show up, and then, you know, the traditional modes of dealing with it usually ends up, well, these parents don't care, they don't show up, or I need door prizes, anything but having a conversation about curriculum, about scores, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
On the one hand, because they don't think parents are interested or can handle the conversation. On the other, because the tradition isn't there. So what is interesting about this whole event is that this came when you present data in a meaningful way to parents. They ask very important questions.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know more. They might not know how to do algebra or geometry, but they certainly know whether the kid is passing or failing.
Right, right.
And they know whether the kid is happy or unhappy
mm-hmm.
with the class. They know
mm-hmm.
a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. And if they feel confident in
yes,
math.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah.
And so one lady said, well, do I need to learn geometry? And I said, no. What you need to know is have a good conversation with the geometry teacher in terms of what you need to do to support your child so that she does well in the geometry class. So the new paradigm is not really a new paradigm, but it's new in terms of traditions, even with parent involvement organizations, is that all of the Title I mandates are focused directly on the academic success of children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They rightly recognize that parents are vitally interested in that topic. And so, whether it's developing policy that supports children's success and parent involvement in meaningful ways, and meaningful here is going back to this particular site.
Right.
Parents examining their math curriculum and instruction.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
And what's really interesting is this is infusing the people that are doing the training and the coaching of the teacher saying, number one, how fast are you teaching this curriculum?
Mm-hmm.
How quickly are you covering the content?
Mm-hmm.
As one kid told the parent, my teacher's teaching on roller skates. She's just whizzing by.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in some classes, if you ask a question, the answer is, I taught that last 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, there's pressure to cover the curriculum. But there's no very minimal checking for understanding.
Mm-hmm.
The reteaching that is done is not done in a new or different or creative way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no considering different learning styles.
Right.
The tutoring or the after-school resources are not very creative. So all these things add up to the kids not doing well in math,
mm-hmm.
and the parents stymied. What can we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's parent engagement that's meaningful, and in this case, in a very, very key thing, as you mentioned earlier, math is a gatekeeping
mm-hmm.
problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's a key element in terms of if kids really want to go to college and do well in college. On the other hand, it's also one for which there's a lot of distress about. Our experience has been with families and with teachers. All you have to do is be in a room full of teachers that are not math teachers and say the word calculus or statistics. You can physically see people just freeze up.
Mm-hmm.
And we've touched on that in the past. Our teacher training programs are trying to focus to regear that,
right,
to have math departments, because sometimes the math department will say, well, only 10% of the student population could ever handle calculus and higher math.
Right. That's what I was going to ask about the expectations of the student population.
Those expectations are very low.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just enough to say all kids can learn math, although that's a precondition.
Mm-hmm.
And so... with the parents, we're saying, even if you have very limited education and you speak very little English, you can't have the expectation that the school is going to know what to do for
mm-hmm.
your children
mm-hmm.
to succeed, not just in minimal math,
mm-hmm.
because the other irony is the test that's creating the red flag for adequate yearly progress is a minimal test.
That's right.
And it's given the sophomore year in high school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even touch on calculus or statistics or any advanced math. So if the children, the students, are doing poorly, and this is the conversation the parents started having, because then they started asking, well, you have something there called SAT and ACT. Well, very few of the students on that campus were taking it,
mm-hmm.
as important as it is for college, and of the ones taking it, very few were getting, very small percentage, had a score that was meaningful at the college level.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So beyond the state-required test, they were looking at the others.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this conversation about mathematics is so important. And once the parents are there, they don't want to go home. They get into conversations, And so it's very, very interesting. I think now what is happening is they want to do a more comprehensive survey. And because the administration is very supportive on that campus, they feel that the more information is collected and is there,
mm-hmm.
they will have a better idea of how to tackle the problem.
Did they present the results in any way to school staff or teachers, or how are they in conversation with folks at the
school? Well, and I think we're going to have another conversation about this. What happened was, at first, it was kind of randomly being done. They would collect them, we would talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
We had one session where we had maybe 30 questionnaires, and we guided them to make sense of them. So we tabulated them, and we
mm-hmm.
said, okay, out of the 30, so many said this. So we were having actually a math lesson.
Yeah, they were doing
it was
math.
Fabulous, you know, because we were carrying it through.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're saying, why do you think some parents answered here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we said, and then they started getting some student responses. They started saying, students are not saying as positive things as parents. They were saying, you know what? If we're doing so poorly in math, why are so many parents are saying, my child always does well in math?
Right.
Did we only talk to the parents of the good students?
Right.
No. And so it was a really interesting conversation, but they were looking at how statistics have meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And what is really interesting about this is that the conversation was being held in Spanish with parents that had limited education even in their first language. And we were having a very sophisticated conversation about what numbers mean, statistics, how you take questionnaires and then create tables out of them and stuff like that. So then the projection was at that point, you know, we need to collect a lot more of these.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet they were coming up with new questions.
Yes, because they said, there's 3,000 children in this campus. We talked to 35 or 40 families, you know. We got to know more.
Yeah.
And in fact, some families said, should we go and interview some elementary families? We said, no, let's keep it just to this high school.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you don't know what it means. And so the other thing about it was we were concerned that faculty and administration not see this as a way that we were going to be attacking them. But everybody on the campus has been responding, saying, we need this information. We need to know. Plus, the greater benefit of having a community dialogue about math is so much greater. It's the community is buzzing about it. They're talking about it, as opposed to selling tickets to raise money for new curtains for the stage or anything else that parents usually do.
So what is happening as a result now? I know that it's still
going on. The most recent thing that has happened was last month they did a larger number and they collected a larger number of student surveys and parent surveys, and some students were pulled in to collect the data, interpret the data, and present to the parents.
So they're expanding that dialogue.
Yes, and now the what the principal suggested is that for next school year, all families and students at the sophomore year be surveyed, and now the students and the parents are saying, and we need to survey teachers to see what teachers think.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah.
So that's those are the plans. That's what's coming.
And is the principal integrating some of those findings into how he designs professional development? Or
well, actually, the people that are doing professional development this year have been aware of the survey since last year and are integrating the information into the teacher sessions in a way so that, for example, let's say in terms of students asking questions, now student talk is being focused on in student-centered lessons in mathematics and algebra 1, 2, and 3 in terms of geometry. They're helping math teachers understand how important the conversation the students have about mathematics in the class is, how important questions are, and why it's important that questions be encouraged, and the teachers are also expanding their repertoire of teaching techniques so that rather than have just one way to teach some abstract mathematical concept, they'll have four different ways and connect it to students' reality, connecting it to concrete examples, because we were hearing from the students and they were telling their parents that it's hard sometimes for them to connect what they're learning in the math class to any reality that they're aware of, much less to a job or a profession.
Wow. So it's already, you would guess, having an impact on...
It's already
Well, certainly
impact.
In the classroom, and you would expect in their scores, their academic success, even more broadly, more importantly.
Yeah, some parents a couple of months ago mentioned, because they're very interested in creating an interest in the whole community about this, they're saying there's going to be some kind of a multi-festival or something where there are booths. They're going to have booths on the campus. It might be something health-related. But they were saying, why don't we parents have a math booth and just make the community aware of how important math is? And they were kind of starting to do riffs on that. So there's a lot of other things that might be happening around this.
Let me ask you this about the parents who are involved in this. Has that group grown? Is it the group that traditionally has leadership on campus, or are these other...
No, actually, these are...
together?
They're not... campus leaders. We've had about a core, about 15 to 20 families, and that's right now setting to expand to a much larger group. Because we were at the same time trying to get the traditional parent outreach workers to understand this different paradigm. Because they had set up ESL classes and even anger management classes and doing things that some parents were interested in, but that really wasn't focusing on what
academics,
we needed to, academics,
right?
And making parents aware of what was going on academically on the campus. I think part of it was because they came from a different tradition, you know, parent volunteerism and meeting parent needs in a variety of ways. Now, as this whole has shifted, we actually have a new parent involvement liaison, and it's a different model. They're, instead of just depending on notes sent home and stuff in the mail and even a recorded message, the personal outreach is increasing. And the plan is connecting with families that are already in some way interested or already engaged in looking for those that are nodules of networks of other families mm-hmm. and having them invite other families. Mm-hmm. In other words, identifying parent leadership not because they show up to volunteer the most,
right,
but because they bring in other families. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's also a shift in the focus in mm-hmm. terms of how a parent liaison defines her job and mm-hmm. how she measures her success. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Going back, 30 warm bodies in a room is not the measurement of success in this case.
Right. I mean, what brings parents to the school is not being bribed with treats and mm-hmm. door prizes. It's because they're making a difference in their children's education.
Yeah, because at this point, in fact, there's at least 100 families over the last year that have been touched by this because they've been interviewed or they did interviews.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And many of them have not shown up on the campus, but they are aware that this is going on mm-hmm. and they had an answer and think about, how is my kid doing in math and all those other things? Mm-hmm. In some cases, it had to answer the questions, the parents had to sit their teenagers down and talk to them. Well, how should I answer these questions?
Yeah.
How are you doing in math? And, you know, what is it like? So it's
that's
very interesting.
To
yes.
have too.
Yeah. yeah. And we haven't been able to measure that, but it's setting off new ripples in mm-hmm. what parent engagement means in that one particular mm-hmm. high school.
That's great. Well, thanks for sharing this. And we will, in a future podcast, focus on what the students did in their survey and presenting the results at the school. And that happened real recently. And so we'll be sharing about that as well. So thanks. And don't forget to leave us your comments.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.